Welcome to Burning Out in Hell.
I wanted to have a unique perspective on this, but it's kind of annoying. And I'm going to get your head big, but then I'm going to build you up, break you down. It's a process. Every comic loves this comic. Every comic, she's on stage, you're sitting next to a comic, and they go, she's the best. She's just the fucking best. And I was like, you know what? I don't believe them. And I looked into it. I tried to find something wrong with you. I tried to find at least a cancelable moment. There were a couple, but nothing too bad. I'm with living comedian legend, Jessica Kirsten. Welcome to hell. I've been preparing that for 30 minutes.
You're so sweet. I love that you said this is going to, like, what'd you say?
I'm going to build you up and then
it doesn't build me up. You should know that. It doesn't.
What gets you?
I'm so thankful that you said that. And it means a lot. It does. And
I just want to let you know, I've been doing research. I've been talking shit to as many comics as possible.
Really?
What's the deal with this woman? Not one bad thing to say.
Okay.
I think it's because they don't want to be homophobic, though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of homophobic people. Not a lot of homophobic comics, because a lot of them eat box and suck dick.
At least on the DL.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
They do. A lot have eaten my box. That's how I've gotten to where I am. I've let them eat my box.
How many men have you let eat your box?
Not a ton. I mean, I've been with a lot of guys. I'm very open about that. Mm-hmm. Not in years, but when I was in blackouts in college, I was with a lot of guys. And, you know, I let some of them go down on me. I've sucked a lot of dick. Mm-hmm. That just got quiet. I felt the quiet, not even in this room, but in a lot of rooms, people listening.
Honestly, three minutes in, we go, I've sucked a lot of cock.
Yeah. I always feel like I'm doing my act when I say this, because I say it in my act, but I never minded doing that because I'm an eater. And I know it gets a laugh, but I really mean it. Because I don't chew food.
As long as I can consume something, yeah.
I always gagged on food. I always just shoved it in my mouth. Yes. I never chewed.
Yes.
Even as a child. That'll be a clip. You know that. So I never chewed. I never just licked an ice cream cone. Mm-hmm. I gulped it. I slammed it in. So
you've probably done work on this, but what do you think is the reason behind shoving food in your
anger
face?
Sadness, you know, not having mom around. I used food for my feelings. Oh, so
I love this, because I was speaking to my husband, weird to say, and he was like, you guys are gonna get right into it, and you've truly, normally I have to warm people up, like butter them up and be like, do you want to talk about your child? Well, how's your day going? your mom is a psychotherapist.
My mom's a therapist.
A therapist.
So she has a private practice, and she saw clients in the basement of our house my whole childhood.
That is incredible. How did that affect you having a mom in that field?
Well, first of all, you know what's funny? Not on the subject, but Dez said to me when we were sitting together the other night at the Cellar, and he said, it's so weird to wear a ring. It's so weird to say my wife. But he was so excited about it. It was very cute. I love him so much. And his dick is amazing. I sucked that the other night, and it was,
you're like, he talked about you the whole time when he came.
Yeah,
he came,
I was down there like, he was like, she's such a great wife. And I'm like, I bet.
He's like, does this ring look good on me? You could look up for a second. Does this ring look good on me?
Yeah, he was holding my head, and he's like, my ring looks amazing. Yeah. So, that got weird again.
It didn't.
It's okay.
Not between us, at least.
Yes, it was very strange. To have a mother. It is strange to have a mother who's a therapist. Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly strange my entire childhood that she was seeing clients in the basement. I had to be quiet my whole life.
Would you overhear conversations?
Always. I would sit and listen to them. I mean, it got different at every age.
Yes.
I mean, when I was a... when I was a very young child, it was really annoying because I always had to be quiet and there was no way to reach her. There were no beepers, there were no phones, there was no way to reach my mother. So sometimes I had to knock on the door and it was really stressful mm-hmm. because she would get enraged with me mm-hmm. when I would have to ask her a question. I mean, can you imagine? I had to get in contact with her a lot mm-hmm. and she had clients the entire day.
Yes.
And she had clients after school and I would have to say, you know, I need a ride or I had a question. I need
also,
money or
feeling silenced is
horrible.
Is a bad feel, especially for people like us who like to express ourselves too much.
Yeah.
Some would say.
Yeah. And I lived in the attic and I'm Jewish.
Triggering.
So
where was dad?
My dad worked and he was, you know, and then they were not around at night a lot. My dad worked late a lot. And mm-hmm. my mom she would volunteer for organizations to help other people. And so I was home alone a lot. And a lot of times I would just find food for myself. Mm-hmm. And I would just, you know, food was my best friend growing up. Yeah. So I would just slam it. I would slam it in to deal with my feelings. It was a lot.
And like, as a human, you're like, this feels good. That feels bad. Why
exactly.
not keep doing what feels good?
Yeah.
Fast forward. We don't love talking about weight, but you
look
amazing.
Oh, I don't mind
you look amazing.
Weight and food. It's my...
I love it. I don't like being like, you're a better person because you're taking up less space right now, but I do notice that you've lost weight.
I think it's great. I have such a history with food and diets.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to talk about. I've lost a lot of weight yeah. And it's taken me years and I keep some weight on so I don't get assaulted, but I...
you said that yesterday.
The guy in here is laughing,
so funny.
But he gets it. But he might like some weight. I haven't. You know, baby's got back.
You got to keep it in the right spot.
Yeah, yeah. I keep it in one breast and not the other. I like that my breasts are uneven. So.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. No, I've been I've got very, very heavy. And I have young kids and I was like, I want to be healthy. It was always more for health. Like I'm very lucky. I am blessed that I never compare myself to other women.
Ooh.
I know.
What a powerful statement. No, a very beautiful,
it's
powerful
rare.
Statement.
It's very rare. I compare with other things, you know, that person is happier than me, that person this, but I don't look at other women and go, oh, she's got a better body. Cause I always felt like I could have that body if I really tried. If I really wanted to, I could work on that. I could do this, you know, to the best of my ability. And, it's more for health reasons, for energy. And I got scared. Like I just was like, I'm going to die. I'm going to get really sick. Because I got really, really, really heavy. And I've lost a lot of weight. And now I'm getting frustrated with just that it's, I want to tone up, I want to exercise, and I'm really struggling with that.
To get yourself to the gym?
Yeah. Yeah.
Samesies.
Really?
Well, I, my whole life was like forced to train because I played tennis.
Right.
So like my whole life was training. So it's almost a little rebellious to be like, I don't have to. Mm-hmm. But I find like I love to play tennis.
Yeah, I do too.
I will give myself the best workout if I play tennis. But if I go to the gym, in 12 minutes, I'm like, I can't do this. Like,
I hate
my ADD just kicks in.
Me too.
I'm like, I don't want to be here. I get a little tired and I'm like, that was good. And I go home. So I recommend finding like people you like to play games with. And it sounds like the little inner child in me.
No,
but
it's
like,
true.
Then you want to work out. It becomes social. Like I joined like a volleyball league once and I was like so fit, even though we were just being stupid on a volleyball court.
No, I think that's great.
Everyone's exercise looks different.
Yeah, lately I've been playing jacks and I feel really, yeah.
Your fingers.
I feel toned, yes. You know? I feel like that's all I really need to do is play jacks.
You're like Hangman too.
Hangman is great.
People don't talk about it enough.
Yeah. Hopscotch is really.
You'd be surprised.
I joined a hopscotch.
You're just yelling at little girls, get up your knees, raise your knees. Jester, get it together.
Yeah. Twister is very... I played Twister for like 10 minutes yesterday and my shins are killing me.
I do have to say hot cross buns. when you do it well, it feels great.
Hot cross buns. Hot cross buns. Yeah, I don't need to do more than that kind of stuff.
I feel like I did do Angry Birds on my phone once.
Angry Birds. Yeah, the going like this is really, my arms have really toned up. I got guns. I got guns.
But it's interesting. Some, do you find that your, well, what was your method of losing the weight? Because I know people who are like, sorry.
I know you have a plan inside
I'm
you.
I'm hidden in a forest, but I kind of like it. I feel like some people, when they get too diety, are actually like not living life.
I'm not dieting.
Happy.
I'm not dieting. It's a way of life. I hate when people say that, and I just said it.
I just had Sean Donnelly on, and he's really into intermittent fasting.
No, I don't do any of that. I'm not judging fasting. It. I'm not judging anyone. Everyone has their own thing.
I mean, he's anorexic.
So what happened was about 8 years ago, Lisa Lampanelli had sleeve surgery. Okay. And a lot of you know who Lisa Lampanelli is. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And she lost about 100 pounds. And she said, Jessica, you have to do this. I was petrified. I'd never had surgery before, ever.
Can you explain sleeve surgery?
So there's gastric bypass, yes, where they literally like move shit around, attach that. Like I was like, I cannot do that. It's too much. She's like, it's too much. It's da, da, da. I'm going to put it out there. I weighed like 330 pounds. I was very heavy, and I'm like 5'4", like not even now. I think I'm shrinking because I'm depressed.
She's adorable.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not doing that whole thing. Sleeve surgery is when they basically, in a nutshell, make your stomach a little smaller. They take out part of your stomach. It's laparoscopic. They just make some holes and just go. They don't have to open you up. It's not a whole thing.
Did they
like
staple it like a Ziploc?
It's not even a staple. Well, I don't remember exactly how they do it. Maybe they do put staples in. I don't think they put staples in. They literally, I can't remember, and I don't want to get emails and all this other shit. It was a
you
long time ago. I
know. Bypass community.
You offended me by saying that you don't remember. Shut up. So they go in laparoscopically and they make your stomach smaller. The thing is that it can totally get reversed, because if you start eating large amount of foods, your stomach can expand and you gain all of it back, and that's it. You're done. The whole thing gets reversed. You blow up again and you gain everything back. So I went to Lisa's doctor and had the same thing done, and I was really scared. And by that night, I was walking around. Again, it was done laparoscopically.
Wow.
And basically your appetite, you know, goes down a lot because your stomach is smaller. But again, if you start eating bad foods and you start eating more and more and more, it completely reverses. You can gain all of it back, and then you could start eating huge amount of foods. Well, from that day forward, I kept eating smaller meals. I never ate a ton of sugar after that. I never ate a lot of carbs. I've basically, for the most part, cut out flour, sugar. I mean, I sometimes will have a little bit of a dessert. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I haven't had bread in 6 months, but in the past 8 years, I've really stuck to a program of, you know, I'll eat some brown rice. I'll eat some, you know, like seed crackers, or I'm really careful. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of myself. I've really just stuck to like vegetables, fruits, very low carb, high protein. I've stuck to it.
You're talking about it very scientifically right now, but it's actually, you know, so impressive what you've done mentally, because
I have,
just because you have a low appetite, it was never about the appetite.
No,
like I know what emotional eating is, and you don't care if you're full. It's about the like feeling of suppressing and, you know, feeling the dopamine and just food comaing.
Yeah.
So what emotionally do you think you've conquered to get to this
place? Oh my God, I've done so much therapy. I mean, listen, I was thrown into therapy at 8 years old. I've gone to every kind of therapist. I've done trauma therapy. I did trauma therapy as recent as a year and a half ago. I went to a place and did trauma therapy. I'm always doing the work. I never stop doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, I do therapy. Now I'm going weekly again.
Same.
I had to do trauma work. I've had a lot of trauma in my life. Mm. And I have physical trauma, you know, so I've had to do like breathing stuff. I've had to do anger work. my father passed away a month into COVID, and I had a lot of stuff with him, and I had to do a lot of work around it. I've done eye movement therapy, you know, called ART, accelerated resolution therapy. It's like EMDR, but you do it a lot quicker in one session or two sessions. I've done tapping, which is amazing. You can do it. You can go to YouTube and look up tapping, and it's unbelievable for people that have trauma or anxiety. I've done so much different kinds of things, and it works. I'm sober, you know. I had to give up drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. I've tried many times to use. I can't. So because I'm sober, I do a lot of different kinds of work around that, and that's helpful. So I'm very humble. I need to do work on myself. And because of that, I know I'm a food addict. So that's a big part of it. I don't just think I eat a lot and I need to just not eat so much. That's why I can't do diets. And I know that diets don't work for me.
Yes.
For some people they do. So I'm not knocking anyone, but for me, diets don't work. It doesn't just work for me to go on like Jenny Craig or I've tried everything.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a way of life. And I know for me, I have to give up certain foods. I can't just have a bagel. I will eat six within a day or two.
Yes.
That's no joke. I'm not saying that to be funny.
Yeah.
And people think that's crazy. Well, there are people who think I'm crazy when I say that, but I can't just have a cookie. I cannot have one cookie. I will eat a sleeve of cookies.
Because it's like you get the taste, kind of.
It's in my system. I'm an addict. So once I have sugar in my system, I want more sugar. I need more sugar. I'm a complete addict.
I'm fascinated by that. I mean, I want to understand how your addictive qualities have affected your romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the same with your emotions? Kind of like, ooh, I really love this person and I'm so into them.
Mm-hmm.
How has it been, positive or negative?
Well, I guess, I mean, I'm a relationship kind of person.
Yeah.
So I was never the kind of person who
was having sex with hookers on 42nd Street.
No, thank God. Mm-hmm. I've never been a sex addict. Mm-hmm. That is evil. I feel horrible for sex addicts.
Yeah.
I believe in it. I know people who are sex addicts, and I feel my heart goes out to sex addicts. And I know there's a lot of people who don't understand it and don't believe it, but it's a horrible thing to battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know comics who are. I've been in programs. I've been away with people, like in rehab with people who are sex addicts. And I have such a sensitivity for people who deal with that, because it's so hard. So no, I never dealt with that. Thank God. But I'm not an addict with relationships, but I'm a person who loves being in a relationship.
Mm.
And when I'm in it, like, I feel like I'm in it. And I never was a serial dater. I hate dating.
Yeah.
I like going out on a date with someone I'm with.
Yes.
But I hate dating.
Oh.
I hated it.
I don't see you ever doing small talk.
I hate small talk.
Like over bread.
I'm not
at an Italian restaurant.
Small talk at all. I'm not good in groups. Are you?
No.
I'm horrible. I think most comics are really
bad. Yeah, because you don't
know
what role to play.
Yeah.
I'll joke like, do you want me to be the clown? Do you want me to lay back? I don't really know how to like go in and out of a conversation.
Yeah.
One-on-one, I love all
day
long.
Me too.
Group settings are, and then you always leave it being like, okay, three of them love me, three people hate me forever now.
Yeah. I know. I'm the same way. I'm okay with two or three people or four at a dinner. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But any more than that, I'm like, there's too much going on.
Yeah, because you can't actually connect, and it's all kind of like a fake interaction thing. And we're either like all or nothing, I feel like.
Yeah. And I'm not good with, and I hated dating because I don't like when I have to wonder if someone's into me or if I'm into the, I don't like games. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate games.
Yes.
And I don't like inconsistency. Mm-hmm. I love consistency. You know, I like I like knowing where someone stands.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also hot and confident.
It is. It is. I hate wishy-washiness. It's like either you're into me or you're not. You know, same with friendships. You're either my friend, you're not. I don't like wondering. I just hate it.
Career-wise, you're extremely successful. You're adorable.
Thank you.
You're very funny. You're smart. What kind of stuff were you battling when you were putting yourself out there romantically?
Well, this is the thing. I'm very secure on stage.
Yes.
And I come off as a very confident person. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when people see me on stage and see me in my act, I'm powerful, I'm confident.
Self-aware too.
Self-aware, yes. In relationships, I have chosen women who are very controlling.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so people don't know that.
That dichotomy is like, I feel like kind of common. Like a woman in the boardroom doesn't want to also have to be the boss at home.
Right. They say that people that go to like a dominatrix or, you know, to a dungeon or whatever, or hire an escort, are these like CEOs, right?
Powerful people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think also you're like running circles around people on stage, and like that's fun, but like you get exhausted with yourself. You want someone that challenges you when you go home.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's funny, you know, the woman Danielle is runs the home. I mean, she's like, she gets shit done. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, she runs the house,
what does she do for a living?
She's a therapist.
I know. Oh my God.
Isn't that funny?
Wow.
But she's the opposite kind of therapist from my mother. So my mom is like old school, like, how do you feel about that? Like, I have a joke in my act where I told my mother I had a toothache, and she was like, this is not a joke. She's like, that's because you're chewing on a decision. If you make that decision, your tooth won't hurt. And I'm like, no, that's not why. I'm eating candy. Like, I'm eating a ton of frozen gummy bears. It's really not why I have a toothache.
Smell the rot from the tooth.
Yeah, it's not why. I get it. Like, I get the mind-body thing, but that is not why I have a toothache. So annoying.
You're like, I have a kink in my neck, and it's like something's weighing heavy on you. And I'm
I'm traveling a lot. I'm fucking carrying bags.
You're like, no, I just sit like this when I do work with my laptop.
Yeah, it's not why dad yells. It's not because dad yells. It's not.
So how is Danielle different?
Because she is a therapist that deals with addiction and with teens, with addiction and behavior. I've talked to Des about this, actually. Yes. I've told him what she does, and he's like, wow, that's tough. So she deals with mostly teens and young adults who deal with addiction and behavioral issues. So she's very much like, get up, buck up, get over it. Like, she ran a program for teens, so it was very militant. You know, it was like the kids had to like roll their clothes and you know, make their beds perfectly and line up. And so she's like...
Wait, so she's a dominatrix. I just envisioned you getting like, get out of bed, Jessica! And you're like, it's Sunday, get out of bed!
Well, that's funny, because we both deal with different roles. Like, I'm, you know, the top. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's very funny. We both have interesting roles set.
I'm fascinated.
I know, it's fascinating.
I'm fascinated by that stuff, because I do feel like masculine and feminine energy is so not black and white.
It's not.
And I love to see how it's intertwined. Because even in like heterosexual relationships, it's like that too.
Of course.
It's not that simple.
Because gender stuff is fascinating to me too.
Same.
And roles. Yeah. There's so many different things going on.
And you said, we were like talking shit at that comedy festival, you've kind of evolved in what you're into and what you're attracted to, whether it's in bed, out of bed.
Yes. Yeah, I am. But we have roles. Mm-hmm. We have roles in our relationship. And it's very traditional in a lot of ways.
Really? Explain.
Very. I mean, I'm the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. I am very much in our relationship kind of like the man, where, you know, I come, like, she cooks, she cleans, and she's controlling in a lot of ways. I mean, and she loves this. This was a lot of like her setup
and
in a lot of
ways. You said you like a little controlling of someone keeping an eye on you kind of thing.
I do. I mean, it does. It, well, she it's interesting. She doesn't give a shit. Like, she doesn't ask, like, where I am a lot. She doesn't, you know, she's just, like, kind of, like, it's amazing to me a lot where she's not, like, where are you? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, she just is, like.
You're like, I could be dead right now. I could be in a dumpster.
Yeah, she's not controlling that way.
Okay.
She isn't. She is very secure and just, like, whatever, just, I mean, you know, and also with my comedy, she's interesting. Like, she doesn't watch a lot of my stuff. She's not.
Uninterested, actually.
Like, does Des watch? Well, he's in the business, so he must watch a ton of your stuff.
Yeah, but it's funny because he gets, like, weirdly nervous when I perform. Like, all my friends will be watching and he's, like, pacing. He'll, like, light me
That's
sometimes.
Cute.
He basically said he can't watch people he cares about.
That makes sense. I mean, a lot of why she's
like the anxious anxious mom.
That's adorable. I mean, again, we have also have three young kids. So let me say that. She doesn't have time to like sit and watch videos that I'm doing. Like,
she listens to all your podcasts.
Can you imagine? She's like trying to, we have 3-year-old twins and a 6-year-old. Like, it's not like she has time to be sitting watching like Instagram reels and
yeah.
shit.
I mean, it's so funny because coming here, I actually wanted to ask you and you brought it up on the phone. I'm at a point where I'm like, my comedy career is starting to come together where I'm like, holy shit, like I can make a real long-term living with this. Like I'm starting to really find my voice. I'm like really loving it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, the fear comes in. Oh, I pop out 3 babies. Is my life different? Is my life going to change? And like the little girl in me didn't want to be a mom. The little girl
really?
In me wanted to be.
I
wanted to be a professional tennis player. I wanted to be a superstar. I want to be president. I would like tell people that for a while. Aww. Like I have a very like leader-esque type of energy. Yeah. I wanted to take on the patriarchy. And But I never did not want to become a mom. I wasn't going like, I don't want kids. It just wasn't a priority to me. And I knew like naturally it would happen when it would yeah. happen. Then one day I meet a guy, get engaged in 6 months. And I'm like, holy fuck, if I get an abortion, it would look bad. You know what I mean? Because I'm financially pretty stable right now.
Yeah.
And I have a man and a home. So how has it changed your life and your career?
Oh my God.
Having kids running around, because some people you talk to and they're like, your life has changed forever, you lose your life, they're great, but you lose your life.
This is such a complex question, but an important one. It's changed everything, having children. So I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I would have a child. First of all, when I came out, when I was younger, you didn't ever think you'd have kids in my time coming out, ever. There was no thought, oh, if you're gay, you have children.
Well,
ever.
Yeah, you have no family to look up to.
Ever. When you came out when I did, if you're gay, you're not going to have a child. How would you have a child if you were gay? Now it's everyone who's like, I'm gay, of course I'm going to have kids. I feel like when I was a kid, but it's really true. When I was a kid, you didn't say if you were gay, you didn't have. My mom always said, I never thought you would have kids. She's like, and it's hilarious. I have 4 grandchildren from you. I have more from you than I do from any of my. So it's so interesting that I have children. And I never, ever for 1 second ever thought about having a child in my entire life. I never personally, thought of bearing a child for 1 second, never had a thought in my own body because I always felt so male.
Yeah.
So I never thought of bearing a child.
Yes.
It would feel like I was a man having a child.
Yes.
So I would feel, I've always, even when I wear a dress, if I ever wore a dress right now, I'd feel like I was in drag. So I wore one, you know, at times when I was a child or a teenager, but I always felt like I was in drag.
Yes.
Then I met my first partner, Shari, and she always wanted a child. And I was like, okay, I wasn't even ready, but we had Zoe. And when Zoe was born, it was the most incredible thing that ever happened in my life.
Oh, I have chills.
And Zoe, you know, I fell in love with her the second she came into the earth, and I'm madly in love with that child, and it's the best thing that ever happened. And, you know, and then every child that happened after Isabella was the next one, and then the twins, Charlotte and Madison. And you know,
what classy names.
Thank you. And there, I have four girls.
Like Upper East Side women. That's what I see. That's what I envision your household.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, I have four daughters, two baby mamas. And, you know, it's amazing. My biggest, I think my two, there's two of my biggest fears was one, that I would not know how to be a good mother because I had struggles with my, my mother is my best friend and I love her with all my heart, but I had problems with my mother growing up because, you know, when I was growing up, she wasn't around a lot and it was very hard for me. And there's things that you can't cure. Do you understand? There's certain things that you can't when you can't heal. You can heal, you can't fix. Like you can't bring back that not having a mother around.
I feel like the relationship can evolve in a deeper understanding.
And we're so close and I love her.
And you see your mom for such more of a human now than just like.
Of course, and she was young and she can't help herself, you know, and she didn't know any better and she came from certain things.
And she sounds like she loves helping people. Like obviously she would never deliberately not be there for you, but clearly there was a misunderstanding with stuff.
Of course. And
no one knows when you're parenting what to do.
Right. But there's things you can't not having her around for certain things and that those hugs and that having mom there is like, it affects you later on. And so I was like, oh my God, am I going to be that kind of mother? I was so afraid that I would not be around for my kids, that I would make the same mistakes. And then I had this fear that something would happen to one of my children, that I would lose them, that they would be sick. And my biggest fear happened, you know, that my 6-year-old has heart disease. Mm. And I've talked about this on other podcasts and, you know, it's hard. I mean, she's okay, but she has major heart disease. Yeah. She's had 3 open heart surgeries and a stent. Isabella, my 6-year-old, and she still needs the biggest. She hasn't even had the biggest surgeries that she needs. You know, she needs her main valve replaced. And, you know, people say to me, I've said this in other pod, but people say to me, oh, she's okay now, right? She's okay. And I'm like, no, she's, I know you want me to say that so you feel better, but she's not okay. She's not. And I, you know, every day think about it. And she functions and she looks okay and she's beautiful and she can go to school and you would never know it by looking at her, but she's got major scars and she needs to have more open heart surgeries and
little warrior.
Yeah, she's incredible. But I have a sick kid and it was one of my two biggest fears.
Yeah.
And it happened. And listen, it could be worse. Mm-hmm. She could have, God forbid, not made it. And I've seen worse and I've spent so much time in children's hospitals and I've seen such worse situations and I'm grateful, but it's a battle and it's put a lot of pressure on my relationship with my wife and and it will continue to.
Yeah.
But we've worked through it and it is what it is.
Kind of a deep question.
Yeah, you can ask me anything you want. There's so many people have reached out to me from watching these podcasts and said, Jessica, thank you so much. I have a daughter with this. I have a daughter with that. I'm so glad that I can help other people through this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does your relationship with your children, how has that affected your relationship with yourself?
Oh,
it's loaded. It's a loaded question.
It's helped. How has it affected my relationship with myself?
How you talk to yourself, how you relate to yourself. Are you kinder to yourself?
Yeah, I am kinder to myself. More I'm a empathy. Lot kinder to myself. A lot. Like it, you know, that's a great question. It made me emotional because I look at them and I think of how horrible I talk to myself sometimes and that I am just a child in so many ways and that I was just a child and that I have been so abusive to myself and that I look at them and I'm like, they're so innocent. They're so innocent. And like, you know, we just make mistakes. Like I've just made mistakes and every day I just make mistakes. I might just spill something or I might not remember something or I might or even if I get rejected in this business or in any way, it's like, it's just, it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And that, or if my father yelled at me, or if my mother didn't do something or whatever, like, I was just a child. It wasn't my fault.
It's so beautiful. I've been learning about reparenting.
Wow, yeah.
Which is so powerful.
That's interesting. It is powerful.
It's literally like you learn that voices in your brain are not actually your voice. It's stuff people have said to you in the past.
Yeah.
And that you can consciously reparent yourself.
Yeah.
And say, normally I'd say, you stupid, dumb bitch, how'd you forget that? Instead go, you've had a long day. And you speak to yourself how you wish you were parented.
That's real.
And then now you have the opportunity to mm-hmm. literally speak it to your children. So it's like, if you're going to speak to them like that, why do you deserve to be assaulted by your own thoughts? And there's even a TikTok trend going around, like, when I'm mean to myself, I remember I'm speaking to her, and people post a photo of themselves when they're like four. And
that's, you're like, you're I've so been right. told to do that many times.
You're so right.
Yeah. And you look in, you can look in the mirror and you can talk to yourself the way that, you know, in a kind way. It's very powerful.
I'm guilty of that. I'm like, love being a hype girl. Any friend with any problem, I'm like, I look at them and I'm like, you're gonna fucking tackle this. And then you go home and you're, and then where did that girl go? Like, where is that voice? Why is she only there for other people?
Yeah.
And then you realize that that's just a conscious choice.
Yeah, it is a conscious. And it's very hard to reprogram your brain. It takes conscious effort because we are so used to talking to ourselves a certain way. So you do have to constantly.
It's a habit.
It is a habit.
But your brain is so malleable, and I've learned this.
It like is.
At any age,
yes,
you can stop being addicted to something. You
yep.
can change your depressive thoughts. Like mm-hmm. I loop a lot, and like once I become aware of it, then I go, we're looping. Instead of before, I was like, this is the universe warning me that I'm going to get cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Now shifting a little bit, because I'm a comedy nerd and I really do think that you've trailblazed for so many female comics. Mm-hmm. You had a documentary that every single person has to watch mm-hmm. called Hysterical that you produce. You're currently working on more stuff like that, talking about women in the comedy space. Do you have any advice for women in general in male dominated spaces? Because there's people say you got to act like a bitch, or people say, you know, you got to, I don't know. There's a lot of, it's like women haven't figured it out. Mm-hmm. How do you handle being in a male dominated space every single night and day and succeeding?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's loaded
too. I'm glad that I'm a mentor for a lot of women, and I really try to help a lot of female comics. There's a lot who will listen to me and be open to it, and there's a lot that won't and don't listen. I've noticed that. I truly think that some women they're not willing to move forward. They want, like, they're intent on being stuck where they are. And I'm not judging it. I think they're too afraid, which makes sense, to move forward and to get out of that where they are. And they're not ready to move forward. Now, for the ones who are willing to take the chance and to risk, you know, plowing through and fighting through, there are ways of doing it, and it's possible because I've made it happen.
How much do you care what other male comics think of you?
I don't care. I sometimes care, but I truly don't care too much.
You're like, I don't respect men. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I do. I respect a lot of them.
Yes.
And I'm very close with a lot of male comics. Mm-hmm. If they respect me. If they don't, then I will eat them alive. Mm-hmm. Because and I know that they've been very damaged by other women. And I know that's where it comes from. I don't take it personally.
General?
Yes. I don't take it personally. I know it's because of their mother or their grandmother or their aunt or their past lover or a coworker. I never take it personally. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them are very threatened, not male comics, but men in general, yes, by a powerful woman. That's yes, really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. The ones that help female comics, the male comics and the male, you know, the audience members, and there's a ton of them, are not threatened by a powerful woman. They might be, maybe they are, but they'll still be willing to help us and help us rise. And they're great. And, you know, a lot of them have helped me. A lot of the male comics have helped me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got a message from a comic last night that followed me at the Comedy Cellar. And he's like, I got to tell you, he's like, you're brilliant. You're fucking amazing. Aww. He's like, and you're incredibly hard to follow. I had a really hard time last night, but I just had to send you this. You're amazing. Like, how incredible is that? Like, he really had a hard time. Right, exactly. He had a really hard time following me, but he took the time out to tell me how incredible I am. And, you know, a lot of them don't do that. They're bitter. They're angry. I mean, it's... You know, I've said this on other podcasts too. I was doing the Comedy Cellar one night, and a male comic who's been doing it half the time as me, who had a television show, who's making tons of money, selling out theaters across the country, has a much better career, meaning monetarily, than I do, was going up after me at the Comedy Cellar. I was about to go on. He comes up to me, goes, leave some meat for the rest of us, you know, like in the audience. And I said, find more meat. Find more meat. And I went up on stage and I made sure to fucking rip the room. Like, I even did old material. Make sure to
You brought back the classic.
Yes, I did. I made sure to rip the room apart so that he had a hard time, because it's like, no. Mm-hmm. No, to handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to, it's hard. It's, my phone is ringing. Let's see. It's probably my mother. It's the dentist for tomorrow. Women have a hard enough time in every business, right? Then you add that we're on stage making people laugh. You know, that is very threatening to
it's
a lot of men.
Like a masculine
yes.
energy.
And women.
To command a room.
Yeah. Women even turn on us. It's not just men. You know, a lot of women will say, I never laugh at women and you're funny. It's like, it's so incredible. It really is. This is the thing. We as women have to stop turning on each other.
Yes.
We got to stick together.
Yes.
This is crucial right now. This is crucial. It is, we're still turning on each other. We're not lifting each other up enough. We are not working together enough. Female comics are not working together enough. Mm. The most power, there are a bunch of female comics in powerful positions that help other women, including you, because you are in a powerful position. You're up there. You know, I help as many women as I can, but there are some famous, very wealthy, powerful female comics that do nothing to help other female comics, and it's disgusting. Mm. It is disgusting. Mm-hmm. Stop. Mm-hmm. Help people. Help women. You are in a position to help other women post dates where they're performing. Mm-hmm. Stop competing. Mm-hmm. You're fucking rich. Mm-hmm. You're famous. You have it. You have it all. Help other women. There's some that do. There's some that are great. There's some that really help a lot of people, but mm-hmm. there's a lot that don't.
Well,
it's pathetic.
I have to say, like, when I surround myself with smart, funny, successful women, I get a boner, and I also just, I feel, I'm so proud of it.
Me too.
And then it, not in a selfish way, but it helps my career to be next to them.
Of course it
and
does.
It helps my career to see something they did and go, if she could do it, I could do it. It helps my career for her to ask me advice and I get her advice. It, like, we can't be gatekeeping stuff.
But do you know how many female comics aren't doing that still?
And that's fucked
up. A lot.
And it's fucked up.
A lot.
And I do think for me specifically, I was a very competitive person when I played tennis. It's one-on-one. And I remember, like, my dad will say something like, why can't you hit your forehand like her, kind of thing. And that was painful for me to hear. And I would get to the type of envy that I knew was bad. And I started doing work at a young age to be like, I can't live my life rooting against another girl to lose a match and kind of thing. Then I found comedy and I'm like, this is an art. I'm not even battling you.
Exactly.
Like I've dealt with competition. This is an expression of art.
Right. It's not even, that's the thing. It's
I don't go off with a Jessica Kirsten beat Hannah Berner on a 1-0 thing. Like that's real fucking competition that I've like worked to actually find like a happiness that like females in sports is just beautiful anyway. Because rooting against people is bad energy and that comes back to hurt you.
Bad.
Ooh, the car, like you just, your brain, it's like before you hit a second serve, if you think don't double fault, you double fault because your brain doesn't hear the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
It just hears double fault. Your brain doesn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're like looking at people and thinking bad things on them, your brain is like living in that negativity. And then that leaks into your personal life. So long story short, watching Hysterical was so, it was like life-changing for me because mm-hmm. I was on a reality show where I was dealing with so much hate from women. I also was like fighting with guys and like when they were angry, everyone was like, good for him, he's strong. When I was angry, they were like, she's crazy.
I know.
The amount of people that said I had mental health problems.
I know.
And I remember, I think it was Margaret Cho or Eliza Schlesinger was like talking about women with anger and stuff and how it's so different. So what is your advice for women in terms of expressing your emotions in the workplace?
I say express yourself. You listen, they're always going to call up. That's not going to change.
You're always a cunt.
No, it's every single famous female anything.
Yes.
Singer.
Yes. They always
actress,
have a diva moment in the tabloids. Always.
It's you're crazy. You're hard to work with.
Yes.
It's always hard to work with. Madonna, J-Lo, mm-hmm. Mariah Carey, every single one. Mm-hmm. Not just comic.
And no man is hard to work with ever.
They're not, and if they are, just it doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
They probably
they're
are,
allowed
they're
to
like,
be.
Wow, that was, he's a tough guy.
The biggest thing is women turning on other women and women not sticking together. If that could just be worked on a little bit and change, that's going to make the difference. The men are not, that's going to take a long fucking time to change.
Yeah.
If we can start just getting women to like start banding together even more.
Yes.
I mean, there's been a little shift with that for sure. But there's too much division with women. There's too much fighting within. We got to start getting together and banding together. That's what I'm trying to do.
I think social media has changed it because before we had, you know, the gatekeepers who were like, okay, we have a lineup. We're picking one girl.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely.
Like, I need to be that bitch and I need to suppress them.
But
so
that's
I'm that girl.
Changed.
But that's
a lot.
Changed.
It has.
And also, it's social media. Hey, let's do a video together because I have a lot of fans who don't know who you are.
Right.
You have a lot of fans who don't know who I are. And I can't speak English. So we will have a good time together.
Right.
So I think social media, there's less gatekeepers because anyone could post shit and anyone could blow up. I mean, meme culture in general was a lot of women, but people didn't know who was behind the like memes and the tweets.
Yeah.
And then it got, the girls are the one who's sharing to their friends. Like, internet culture is like so based on female humor.
I know, it's very true.
Which is what I'm obsessed with.
And if you look at what these male comics are doing with the podcasts, right? Look at what the male comics are doing for each other. And they're making millions, millions of dollars and selling out theaters and stadiums. We're not even talking theaters anymore.
Yeah.
Stadiums around the country. Can you imagine if all these famous female comics started doing that for each other?
Yeah.
And started putting each other on podcasts and really helping each other?
Yeah.
And really start, I mean, like everything could change.
Yes.
It's just, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm being unrealistic by saying that can really, things can change. I mean, I'm trying to work that. I did it with Hysterical. I think it helped. I definitely do. I'm working on another documentary about female comics around the world that I told you Punky Brewster, you know, Soleil Moon Frye is directing. And I'm working on other projects with female comedians. I'm always going to try to help women. Again, as you just said, it does come back to you. It's not why I do it, but it does. The energy comes back to you anyway.
Yes.
It always does.
Yes.
And you do a ton to help people. I mean, you always do. That's your vibe.
But I also just feel like I want to surround myself with people who are smarter, funnier, cooler than me all the time, because then they become a part of you. Like, yeah, your people around you really become part of you. And I've been in inauthentic spaces. I've been surrounded by people who I don't like. And I have that New Yorker in me that just like implodes and I can't fake a smile. Also, that I could be off, but I think I told you my theory before. I have a theory that like lesbians have done a lot for women in history.
Yeah.
Just because maybe they didn't traditionally think of like women's roles. Like even how you say, like, I like going home and being the man. So like you're challenging this traditional gender roles, but you're still a woman.
I am. And I am a woman in many ways. Like I'm incredibly, it's funny because I'm like that in that role in that way, but I'm the more sensitive one. I'm the more needy one in the relationship. You know what I mean? So I'm there. It's like the roles go.
Yeah. Yes.
It's very interesting how that all works.
Yes. And those roles are commercialized. Like it's like what they put in for like movies.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, this is the guy coming home. And I think that the fact that you haven't maybe always cared about like men thinking you were hot on stage or like the male gaze as much.
Yeah, that's hard.
I think that has broken barriers, because if you're so fucking consumed by the male gaze, you will be frozen with anxiety.
That's hard.
And I think that's one thing that I've been able to really get past in terms of like, I find my value in like, can I make people laugh instead of does he think I'm hot? Like,
that
I really
must be so hard.
I don't give a shit if guys think I'm hot.
Right.
I give a shit that like the person I care about thinks I'm hot.
Did you before Dez?
Did I what?
Did you care if they thought you were
I
hot?
I was weirdly all, cause I was a tennis player, and this has brought its own issues, but my parents always valued, are you like smart? Are you kind? Are you athletic?
Yeah.
So I care a lot that people think I'm funny, smart, kind, and athletic.
Yeah.
But do I care if people think I'm hot? I don't at all.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that's, I think that's, like, I was almost put on this earth to be in male spaces.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But I also like to be hot. If that makes sense?
No, of course.
Like, I
want to
go
sense.
On stage.
Of course. Yeah.
I want to go on stage and be like, I could be fuckable while also be gross, while also be confident, while also be depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I just want those nuanced roles more in this world. And I do feel like you do such a great job of just like pummeling through the traditional like sense of what a woman is in the comedy space. Because you're just so authentic to you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I definitely, when I go on stage, I don't care if men think I'm hot. I do want women to find me attractive because I'm attracted to women.
Yes.
So it's more that.
Yeah.
But I definitely.
But you're not like nervous to go in a bar full of men.
I could give a fuck if men find me attractive.
Oh my God. Hysterical. I literally was like, I joked. The reason there aren't more female comics is because when you're starting off and you're taking those late night train rides because you can't afford Ubers, or Ubers didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
And you're going to these bars in downtown Brooklyn at midnight just full of dudes.
Yeah.
Can you sit there and be like, I'm going to be okay?
Yeah,
and
I know.
I'm also going to be confident in this room.
Yeah.
That's what you had to be.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
Yeah, it was unbelievable when I first started, because I was literally performing in just a supermarket, a deli, a laundromat every night. There was not like just bars, or there were not all these clubs. It was literally mostly open mics every night.
And a lot of it is like friends putting on friends.
Yes.
You got to get in with the boys club a little bit.
Oh, it was mostly guys. Mm-hmm. It would just be me usually and one other woman on a show. Mm-hmm. That's normally what there's a lot of women now. Mm-hmm. Lot. There was not a lot when I started.
Mm-hmm.
So it was even more competitive. It was really maybe 10 of us in the city, maybe 15.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is New York City we're talking about, the biggest city in the world.
At first, it was like me, Marina Franklin, Rachel Feinstein, Karen Bergreen, Marion Grodin. I mean, there was maybe 20. I don't know. Like, it was not a lot of us in the way beginning 23 years ago.
So I just watched the J-Lo documentary, and I was comparing you to J-Lo because she's
which who I love. I mean, I
no, you're gonna watch this. You are the comics J-Lo, because I feel like you are constantly evolving. You're actually getting like like you, I feel like you have so much many exciting things coming in your career. Yeah. Just my psychic, like, you know, feelings of this. What are you working on in the future? What can we kind of look out for with you?
Yeah, I mean, I my career is like really now exploding, which is, I love that because one of the reasons why I love it so much, and it's a big reason, as much as I am happy that it's going so well, believe it or not, I'm just as happy that it can give other women hope. Isn't that amazing? I'm not saying that. I'm not joking when I say that.
Well, that's like something you're actually leaving on the earth that has...
I feel that.
...an effect.
I really feel that. I'm not... I want other women to know that from working this hard for this many years, that it can still happen. Like, stick with it. It happens. I mean, and by the way, it's not just happening now. Like, I've been working this whole time.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, I was on TV a year in. Like, if you keep working at it, and I've been working the whole time. Like, I've always done a ton of different things. I was on a game show on Oxygen. I was on this. I was always doing different things. But now it's really all coming together. I'm working on a crowd work special, which I've been filming at the Comedy Cellar. So I've been doing like these 15-minute spots that I've just been filming of just crowd work.
Wow.
Yeah. Which has been a blast for
me. Are you just going to go, go, go until you have enough material?
Yeah. I literally am just filming crowd work sets. It's crazy.
Are you getting
better? Amazing. Amazing. I also am working on material, and hopefully we'll do a half hour, hour, another set, a crowd, I mean, you know, special of material also, but I love doing crowd work, and I'm really good at it. And there's never been a woman who's done a crowd work special.
Wow.
So that's one of the things I'm doing. I also, I'm working on writing a book. About being the daughter of a therapist and growing up in the house, a daughter of the therapist. I you know, got a little part in a movie. I am going to Just for Last for the festival for 3 weeks, you know.
That's so
exciting. Which is awesome, in Montreal. I have a ton of road work coming up, a ton.
Yes.
This fall, I'm going to be touring all over the country and next year. So I have a ton of dates coming up if you go to jessicakirsten.com. And I have a new documentary, the movie I'm working on. So I'll be traveling all over the world, performing with other women.
Just logistically, as an entrepreneur, I want to know, how do you choose to organize your time so you're not burnt out or half-assing 40 things?
I take some time to like be home more, and then I go back out on the road. So I was just on the road a lot. So now I'm home more. Mm. And I don't, during the week when I'm home and not out, like I make sure if I'm out on the road a lot, I'm home with my kids during the week, and I don't do spots in the city a lot. So I wasn't at the Cellar or the other clubs in the city for a couple of months.
Wow.
A lot at all.
So you're really getting that balance.
Yeah, I have to. I'm not going to not see my kid. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not going to not call my kids.
Well, some people don't. Yeah, some people are like, I haven't seen my kids a lot for months. I don't do that.
No, it's not, it depends on the person, obviously, in your relationships, but I feel like it feeds the soul so that when you do go on the road, you feel that, like, love and you feel that connection.
Yeah.
Okay, you're doing amazing in hell. I could talk to you for years. We're going to play a final game.
Sure.
And it's called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
Getting attention.
Yeah.
From the people closest to me.
Mm. And strangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the farthest away, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do have to say I watched your set last night, and you can't not listen to you. Like, it's what, like, you have that like magnetic force on stage. And I do think how you inspire women is, if you're in the male dominated space all the time and you hear male comics talking about female comedy in like the worst possible way, or you'll see like when a girl goes on stage, the male comics like stop watching the set, like that kind of shit. But then you see how they treat you. Not that they like you're the only one they respect, but in a way that it gives us an example to be like, oh, they can talk about me like that. there's space here for me.
There is.
There is space for male comics to be like, oh yeah, she murders.
There is. They a lot of male comics will say to me, I don't see you as a female comic. I just see you as a comic.
Yeah. Which I hate.
I know.
It's like being like, oh, you don't throw like a girl.
I know.
But it's a
step. Most men see women. It's really, we have a big problem.
We have an issue.
We have a major problem.
We have a problem.
I mean, that's our biggest problem, is hatred towards women, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's coming
when
from
people ask
it's coming
me
from inside the house, outside the house.
It's from the beginning of time. It is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Yeah.
Bigger than anything.
Yeah.
When people say to me, what do you think you're is the most hated for? Is like being Jewish, being gay, being a woman, your weight stuff, da da da. I mean, you could go down the line. I always say being a woman. That is number one. Number one. Yep. Two, Jewish. Three, being gay.
Wow. Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. But I love that you've kind of taken that stuff and weaponized it against them.
My whole act. My whole
literally
act.
Literally, you went on for 5 minutes yesterday about how, because you're raising children in a gay family, you're trying to turn them gay.
Yeah, of course. Because that's what the religious right says. That I'm like, of course we're trying to make them gay.
Yeah.
Every gay person tries to make their kids gay because it's an easier life. So why wouldn't we? We're doing everything we can to make our four daughters dykes. Like men, like truck drivers. Not even like us, because we wear jewelry and makeup and
that's not
we're
accessible.
Trying to make them
you need
dykes.
To make the next generation better.
Yeah.
Better gays.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you envious of?
People that are, for the most part, not always, of course, because no one is, but serene and at peace for the most part. Very, very envious of those people.
I used to look at, that's why I started Burning in Hell, because I'm like, I thought success would bring all the happiness. So I wanted to interview successful people about what they hate about themselves. And then I realized successful people are fucking nuts. Like literally the worst and probably have the most issues.
Yeah.
So I started seeing life like not based on successes, but more just like, yeah, how people carry themselves. Like whether it's, you know, the person on the subway you're sitting across just being like, they look like they figured it out. And I don't care how much money they're making, whatever. Some people, they found their like alignment.
Yeah. It's the thing I'm the most, by far, the most envious of.
But also, you wouldn't be a comic if you were serene.
No, it's from tragedy. It's horrible.
It's a tragedy. It's a Shakespearean play, every set she does. Yeah. Okay, what are you gluttonous about? What do you overindulge in? I know you're being well-behaved now, but what's your, like, guilty pleasure?
I mean, definitely social media.
Oh.
It's not good. Like, I've been really cutting back on that as
the
much
scrolling?
As I can. Yes. It's not a good thing.
It's not good.
But
TikTok is great. Everyone follow her TikTok and her Instagram.
Yeah, I post crowd work videos on my
really
TikTok.
Good. Are you doing that yourself?
I don't edit them myself,
okay,
but I post them sometimes myself and sometimes my assistant does. But
you're very open to like evolving stuff, because I know some old school comics are like, I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm like, I mean, you'll sell more tickets.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't understand.
I don't post material hardly ever,
but,
I post crowd work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care. I don't give a shit what anyone thinks. Yeah. You have to put out there what you're doing so that people come see you. If you're not on a regular television show.
Also, like, who knows? Let's say George Carlin is like your idol. He wasn't in a time of social media. If social media was around when he was really hot, he might have been posting every second on social media, rants and shit.
Yeah.
How do you know?
And by the way, I don't care what anyone thinks about what I do. You know, a lot of people will, a lot of comics will put you down for stuff that they can't do.
Also, they don't pay your bills.
Well, I'm saying they can't do crowd work.
Yeah, you're right.
Crowd work. It's always the people that can't do crowd work that are that fucking horrible at crowd work that put down crowd work. Do you ever notice that?
Yes. Yes.
Look at these comics doing all this crowd work.
Well, yeah, and it's the
that's interesting.
That are bad at
are you good at crowd work? I'm curious. Are you good at it? Because I'd love to see you do some crowd work, because actually crowd work is really brilliant if you're good at it. Big J is brilliant. The people that are good at crowd work, you have to come up with stuff on the spot.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's hard to do? I think that's much harder than going over a joke 500 times.
1,000%.
I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying.
No, it's two different art forms.
So, yeah,
you're
but
so gluttonous. Right. It's also like the people who shit on you. They're the people outside the arena. They're the critics.
Yeah. I don't shit on comics for what they do. And I especially don't do it publicly. So any comic that publicly shits on other comics, I think is a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
I think they're horrific. Mm-hmm. When there's certain comics that constantly shit on other comics on Twitter. It's disgusting.
In my head, I'm like, the confidence for you to come for another comic.
Who the fuck are you?
It's from insecurities.
I know. It's unreal to me.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
But you're so right. If anyone ever comes for you, Venus Williams actually said that. Remember Naomi Osaka was upset about the press questions and stuff, and they asked Venus, like, how have you done it for so long? And she goes, when they are asking me questions about how bad I played, I just think of them trying to play tennis and how I just whoop all their asses on the court.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's adorable. You're trying to make me feel small.
Yeah.
When you can't even hit topspin.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger?
Oh my God. It probably yesterday when I was driving. Mm-hmm. Not today yet. Mm-hmm. But yesterday. I do in the car a lot.
You get
when
hot.
People drive 100 miles an hour on the highway. Yeah, last night, driving home from the Comedy Cellar, there was a guy driving 100 miles an hour, weaving in and out, almost cut me off, and it just, it's makes me enraged.
Yes.
Or it's, you know, if I'm on stage and someone is judging me or making a face or yelling, or in an argument with my wife, mm-hmm. when I'm just enraged. And now we have kids, so I won't scream in front of my kids. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I grew up with that.
Yes.
So there's things we talked about. I don't do the things that I grew up with. Thank God I changed the pattern. Mm-hmm. So I don't scream in front of my kids. Mm-hmm. So I'll get enraged and like, because I want to scream.
You just pop an eye vessel?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But that is an example too of they're kind of helping you.
Yeah, they are.
Because you have to take that extra breath that you wouldn't have taken if they weren't there.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were a sloth? So like just lazy, just took the day for yourself.
This past weekend, I relaxed.
What's your way of relaxing?
I just stay in sweats and just hang out with my kids.
Yes.
Play with them.
Yes.
I act like a child with them. Yeah. I literally play with them. I play house with them.
Yes.
I play, I'll like, for example, I'll just, like with my daughter Isabella, my six-year-old, I'll literally play doctor with her and just act like I'm the doctor.
I just envisioned all your characters. The voices. You must be the most fun to play house with.
I am fun to play. I am. I'm a really fun mom. I am. I'm really fun with them. I'm out of my mind. So I'm like, you. Like I do. I'm crazy with them.
I can't wait to see their personalities.
They're hilarious. All four of my kids are silly because, I mean, Danielle's very silly too.
Yeah.
So when she's not stressed with them. It's a lot. It's a lot.
I also, when it comes to like taking breaks and laziness, the hardest thing for me I've noticed with comedy, like for example, when I'm on the road, like the food is so bad, like at the club, and then you're like, no, I'm eating healthy, and then like you have a good set, you have a drink, next thing you know, you're like, bring on the cheese fritters, and like it's, and then like I get home at night and I can't go to sleep early because I'm so buzzed.
Yeah,
I'm going to bed at 3, and I'm like, this lifestyle is not really like the epitome of health and wellness.
No,
do you have any advice for like not your body and your mind not hating you if I want to survive 50 more years in this business?
Yes. I mean, honestly, I have had to really make plans and take care of myself in this business. So I bring food with me.
That's what you have to do.
I bring a cooler, a small cooler. I bring food with me. I plan. If I'm on the road for the weekend, I go to a store. I have them.
That's how you make it.
Take me to a Whole Foods, or if there's no Whole Foods, to any kind of market, and I get food and I keep it in a fridge there. If I make sure there's a fridge,
yeah.
I call the hotel. I mean, you have to do shit.
That's
like
so great because you figured out what you need to be at your best.
Yes,
because we're really.
I have to.
I see it like an athlete thing where you're like, I need this to perform.
And it is like an athlete. It's exact same thing.
Yep. Every weekend you're going out and you're you're out there boxing with the crowd. And I do think when you're green in it, you're kind of just like being thrown around whatever works for them. But then you start to get to a point where you're like, okay, I know what works for me.
Yeah.
And if I want to perform my best, I have to speak up for myself.
And you have to do that in your life too. Like, you have to make some time to be with your family. You have to make some time to have fun with your friends. You have to, like, that's what I didn't do for
years. You have to say
years.
No to things.
Yes. And I was not okay. Because I was addicted. Talk about being an addict. I was addicted to comedy.
Yes.
And it did not go well.
Or when you do take a night off to be with family, you give yourself this guilt, which is like, that's just a perspective shift.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, oh no, I'm filling my heart up
mm-hmm.
to be better.
Yeah.
In all aspects. Not
yeah.
just like to be better on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's powerful. When was the last time you let your ego or your pride get in the way of something? How's your ego?
Well, I can definitely have, I'm very humble. I'm actually too humble
yeah.
a lot of the time, where I have to kind of ramp that up a little bit, because I need to realize who I am in this business sometimes more and ask for things. And
yes.
But I, it's funny, I'm in a situation now where it's like, sometimes there's times when I just want to tell certain people in this business to fuck off because
yep.
they're not doing what I want them to do in the right amount of time, or they didn't reach out to me when they were supposed to, or, you know, industry people.
Yes.
And it's like, I gotta take it back a notch, you know, I gotta not let my pride get in the way and just say, listen, you might not be the main priority right now, or people are busy or whatever. And, so I have done that recently, where I've had to look at that and but I'm able to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of comics aren't. They let their ego get in the way and they react immediately and just say, you know, fuck you, and they burn that bridge. And
that's
I don't do that a lot.
I learned recently, like, burning bridges, because you took something personal in this business, is not worth it.
I don't do it a lot.
It is
thank
God. Not worth it.
It's not.
Because it wasn't personal.
It's not.
It really isn't.
99% of the time, it's not.
It's and even if it was some personal bullshit, you don't need to burn that bridge.
No.
Like, I'll think about stuff and I'm like, that little win is not worth
no.
a long time. And it's not even a win. You probably feel shitty after.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I even try to deal with that in my friendships too sometimes.
Like, yep.
We don't need to burn a bridge when, you know what, it's actually not about you.
No, because everyone has their stuff. Most people are really screwed up. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but they have their stuff.
Yep.
They have their history. I look at things online and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you look at people's posts, you look yeah. at their stories, you yeah. look at things, you're like, what is happening?
My friend the other day, I saw her, she's a comic, I said, if you post another inspirational quote that hints, like, why you're going to murder your ex-boyfriend, we're going to have a problem.
I post some of that stuff sometimes because of,
that's
like...
That's when you check in on your friends. I'm like, how many quotes are you going to post today?
Yeah, I'll post some once
cryptic
in a while,
messages.
And it makes me feel... Well, they're not too insane, the ones I post, but... It does make me feel a little better, but then I'm like, oh boy, I have to stop doing this. But but I'll look at people. Yeah, there's some people that post a lot of things where I'm like, oh boy, there's a lot going on here, and what is happening? And it's just, it sometimes makes me look at my life and go, you know, things are not that bad with your life.
Yeah.
Like,
or if you're someone with like anxiety, I'll have, you know, at the club, you'll have so many interactions with so many comics that are like so fun, so great. And then you have one weird one and they'll stick with you all day. You'll be like, does that person hate me?
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that. But they'll talk to another comic and they'll be like, oh yeah, that person's been weird all day. And I'm like, oh, I was about to literally dissect my whole personality, move it around. That person's been freaking people out all day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been in a bad mood all day.
I've had that happen so many times.
Three people are sitting there thinking it's them.
No, right. Or my friend will say to me, I think this person hates me. I'm like, everyone thinks that person hates them.
Yes. Or they're just not warm. They're just not warm.
Yeah. I've also learned, you know, this is very important in our business and in friendships and in people in general. Trust the red flags. I still make that mistake.
Oh,
it's like I'll meet someone... I'll become friends with them, or I'll, you know.
You want them to prove you wrong.
Yeah, but you know what? How many times do you have to fucking learn that lesson?
Or like, I'm the exception. They were great to me.
I know. It's like, God, I'm like, Jessica, what is wrong with you? I mean, really, I'll know. I'll see it. I'll know it. And I still jump right in.
I like that too. I think it's because we still want people to like us.
Yeah. And I still want to have hope and want to think people are okay. And they're not. They're not.
Yes.
And I know it.
Yes.
And I still.
Yes. And you're like, they haven't dealt with my charm yet. And it's like, nope, they don't care.
Yeah.
When was the last time you lusted over someone besides your lovely wife? Do you have like a celebrity crush or anything?
Listen, J-Lo was always a one for me because I love Hispanic women.
Same with
I love dancers.
Des loves J-Lo.
Holy shit. I love dancers.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God.
Do you know what you should do? You should do what Girls Gotta Eat does. And in the beginning of your shows, you get the local NBA team's dance team.
That's
to
a
go
great
out
idea.
And shake their asses before you, and then you come out like in a cape, like in like a fur cape, like Cat Williams.
You're right.
And then they all just shake their ass behind you.
That's perfect.
Or at least a music video like that.
Yeah. No, that's hilarious. I love Dua Lipa.
Oh, she's amazing.
Hot. Love Halsey. I love I loved Angelina Jolie, but she's too thin.
I know.
I don't love that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's dick thin, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't she?
Yeah.
I like a little meat.
Yeah. I love
a lot of meat.
You know all the pop culture shit going on.
Yeah. Well, I know I know they're the hot women. Yeah.
Do you follow a lot of hot girls on Instagram?
No. No.
Okay, good.
I'm not like that.
You're not
I mean,
she goes girls tits.
Can you imagine? Yeah. No.
You
I mean,
have Instagram
I watch
showing
porn,
up at your
but
shows.
I don't follow a lot of
you have just Instagram models following you to all your shows.
I mean, I do have, there's, I, when these hot women follow me, I'm like, oh my God, then I'll follow them. But I'm so like, not like a player. It's not like that.
What kind of porn are you into?
I'm not into like the traditional straight porn, but like I've gone through different things. Like I was into watching gay men for a while.
Emma Willman loves it. She loves gay men porn.
Yeah, I used to be into that. I haven't watched in a while, but it's not like I wouldn't watch it
powerful
again. Yeah, it's like fuck it, suck it, like that kind of thing. I could never find lesbian porn that I really like. No, because it's not real. Like women with long nails, like, oh my God, your fingers feel amazing. Like it's not, that's not how it is. It's basically just crying and eating hummus.
I love that joke.
I know, it's amazing.
When you said
it's true.
They just punctured your ovary.
Give you a hysterectomy. It's not like that. I watch like a little, you know, hardcore straight porn mostly.
Yeah, nice.
You know, I like that kind of stuff. There's certain porn stars I like.
Mm.
Like, but I like, I don't like traditional, like, safe, like, missionary. Like, I like a little, like, hard.
Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like long stories. What do you like?
But you're like, you answer a question. You know what's funny? I actually don't hate a girl masturbating.
I like that too.
I like that. I think it's safe. I think it's peaceful.
I like that too.
It like reminds
it's
me of me almost.
Yeah.
In like not a narcissistic
that
way.
That is hot.
But in like a like, oh, you're seeing like how it happening to someone. I tried to watch porn with Dez and we just like would make jokes and then I'd get like, he'd be like, you pick. And I'd be like, no, you pick. Like we were so, it was bad.
It can be uncomfortable, but that can be hot too.
We're going to get there.
I like it.
We're not there yet. We're still a newbie couple.
I like scenes kind of stuff. Like doctor, like there's been stuff like that I can get into. Massage, doctor.
I like a massage moment.
Yeah, massage can be really hot.
Yeah.
And doctor stuff can be hot.
Yeah.
You should look into that.
Dentist. I'm just kidding. Optometrist.
Chiropractor can be amazing. I looked at a gynecology exam. It was wonderful. A woman had a cyst removed and I came immediately.
I had a weird lump on my back.
A woman had a large pimple on her shoulder and she had it popped and immediately I came like a geyser. Where am I?
Is it my turn to bowl? Judith?
Ma'am, you're at a McDonald's.
I'll have a large fry, a Dr. Pepper, and a chicken tender, just one chicken tender. I have gas.
Half eaten.
Joyce? Can I get a pad? I don't feel good.
I can't breathe. I think it's just punctured my ovary. Okay, to wrap it up.
Wrap it up in a Tupperware because I'm taking the bus home and I don't like when people complain that it smells. That's all I need. The Asian man constantly yells at me and I don't feel safe there because Maria's not with me today on the ride home.
If you haven't seen Jessica's special.
What?
On Comedy Central. Comedy Central! what was it called?
Talking to Myself.
Talking to Myself. Some specials, you see a comic and you're like, this special wasn't great. This special was, I thought it was great. Were you proud of it?
Can you imagine if like I didn't love it?
No, so a lot of comedy.
No, I was very happy with my special.
It was.
No one saw it, but I was very. It's actually coming out.
Can they put it on YouTube?
I'm putting it on my YouTube.
Thank God.
In chunks, it's coming out in like 7 to 10 minutes,
and cut it up in TikTok.
It's coming out. Jessica Kirsten Comedy is my YouTube channel. It's coming out this week. Actually, it's starting.
Oh my God, it's so exciting! Yeah. I snuck into the premiere. At the Cellar. You didn't even know me at the time.
I love that you did that. I remember that now.
I snuck in.
I was you're adorable.
No, I was nervous because I never met you before.
I remember that.
But everyone was so warm about it. Like I was like, oh, I don't know her. And they're like, Jessica's the best. Just come. She won't care. And I'm like, yeah. And then I came. And then at the very end, like it was so good. Everyone was surrounding you. And at one point I just went up to you and I was like, I mean, then I thought it was really funny. And then I remember like not even waiting for your reaction. I was like, okay. And I walked away. Like I didn't even
remember that.
But that was my first Jessica Kirsten interaction.
Yeah.
So to be here is an honor and a privilege.
Aww.
To wrap this up, I have one more question.
Yeah. I'm not telling you my weight.
The final question is, what advice would you give to the little devils, all the listeners, on how to cope with their hell? When you're going through it, when you're in your darkest place, what's your go-to?
It always gets better. It always gets better. From every breakdown, there's a breakthrough. You know, that's a famous quote, but it's something my mother always said to me.
I love that.
And there is always a breakthrough. And you grow. And you do. I'm telling you from my own experience. You become better and stronger. And you grow from it. There's always a breakthrough if you can stick with it and stay with it. And even when you feel hopeless, like you can't, you're not going to get through it. You learn something and you become stronger.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to try if you can. It's not about religion or God or anything, but to become spiritual, to know that you're small and there's something bigger. And I'm not saying it's God for people. This is not religious, but that if you can just try to let go and just
join a cult. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, join a cult and take poison and kill yourself. That's the message.
No, but you're right.
No, just let go and just release it and just really just don't try to control things. Like, well, I live my life like everything is just meant to be. Like, let go. Just let go. Every time I try to control something, it's a mess.
Oh.
It's a mess.
So right.
It's a mess. And I have to just let go of things, people, play, everything. Let it go.
And I almost feel like when you have the breakdowns, you're almost just being pushed into a different path.
Yes.
And I like to use an analogy of like surfing, even though I never surfed.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when the waves are bad and you're trying so fucking hard, it's not working.
Yeah.
When you find the right wave, it's effortless.
Right.
And it's like, you can fight, but like, listen to where you want to be and listen to where your heart wants to go. And when you find the right place, like it, you won't feel like you're fighting it all the time.
Right. Well, the more you try to control something or change it or battle it, the more it's just a constant, it's insanity.
Yes.
Keep doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Yes.
When you let go and just say, please just take this from me. Just take it. I literally will pray please, whatever it is, whoever you are, whatever, anything, just take this away from me. Please just take it away. It works. I'm telling you, it works.
Yes.
It works.
It's almost like you're manifesting it into the yes. universe to say, I don't want this anymore.
Yes.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah. It really, because time heals. It does. It heals. And sometimes that's the only thing that can heal something.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you're in the moment because you're like, this is horrible. My brain.
Yep.
But I love what we talked about before, which is like your brain is always changing too.
Yep.
You're going to be a different person tomorrow at this time. Honestly, within an hour, I might have five different moods.
Exactly. And take action. That's a big thing too. Like when I'm sitting in my brain, it's a bad neighborhood to be in.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. I'm usually not thinking very positive thoughts sometimes, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm sitting in me, in my brain, so I have to literally take action, like go do something.
Yeah.
And then it shifts.
I love that so much. Jessica, you gave us laughs. You gave us deep, deep thoughts. You gave us inspiration. Where can people follow you, listen to you? Give me all the goods so everyone can stay posted with all your stuff.
Yeah, so I'm at jessicakirson.com. It's K-I-R-S-O-N. I'll be posting a ton of dates coming up. And I'm on Instagram at jessikirson, J-E-S-S-Y-K-I-R-S-O-N.
I have a TikTok. It's amazing. My TikTok is amazing.
It is.
It's Jessica Kirsten. And I post those crowd work clips and other stuff. Every day I post stuff. And, you know, I'm on Twitter, Jessica Kirsten. And I'm on Netflix right now on Bill Burr.
Yes.
Yeah, his special Comics Who Kill, Friends Who Kill.
Yes.
Called Friends Who Kill.
Is your set up yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, I have to watch
Netflix.
It tonight.
Yep. And I want to say before I go that you're amazing.
Oh my God,
you are a beautiful, smart, hysterical, kind person. And above all of that, as a comic, you work damn hard.
Oh, thank you.
I want to say that, and I want everyone to hear it.
Oh,
because
I appreciate that.
Not all comedians work so hard. And you know what? You don't have to work that hard because you have a very big career in other aspects. So I have always respected you a lot as a comedian because you work your ass off and you get on stage a lot and you write a lot and you really do the work, which is so admirable. And I notice it, and a lot of people do. And I'm really proud of you for doing that. I really
am. You made me cry.
It's true.
Coming from you, that means a
lot. It's huge that you do that because you don't have to. You really don't. And a lot of people
wouldn't. I'm afraid of my own thoughts.
Well, a lot of people wouldn't do that because you've been on TV and you are married to a comic. Anyway, you know, there's reasons why you don't have to do that. You mm-hmm. can just, you know, go out, headline, do things and don't have to do all that, the work. Mm-hmm. But you have. It's from day one. You've gotten on stage, you've busted your ass, you've done the shitty shows, hundreds of them, the bar shows, the fucking horrible, not getting paid, the road gigs and all of it, hundreds of them, which are horrific. And you've done them, which has made you such a better comic. And it's also in turn given you the respect, which is really crucial in this business. And you're such a good person. You also do the work on yourself emotionally, which is, you know, none of us have to do. So I respect you for that too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because you know, day to day, it gets tough.
It's hard.
It gets tough up in here.
I know.
But sitting with you, I'm all so hyped up and pumped up. And I'm just so excited to just like see the stuff we're going to do in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. We're powerful women. I mean, this business is changing all the time. We're all doing it ourselves, you know? And
I just, you're kind of running in the snow and I'm just like kind of just seeing the footsteps and making my own way too.
Well, we're going to have our own networks at a certain point. We're doing all of this, our set, like mm-hmm. everything's changing. Everything's going to be online. It's all like, mm-hmm. it's incredible what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you're so powerful. I mean, look what you're doing.
Thank you. I love the power. I truly, it helps me sleep at night.
But you've been knocked down so much and you just fucking get up. But this is how I am.
But I do have to say, you don't get knocked down unless you're trying stuff.
Yeah.
I hate to be like a 50-year-old man with a Michael Jordan quote, but like how many shots did that man miss?
It's
people
true.
Don't talk about it.
It's true.
People talk about the shots he made.
Yeah.
And I could feel sorry for myself when like things have gone badly for me, but you have to choose to get up in the morning the next day and keep going. And I just love surrounding myself with funny, amazing people, and you're one of them.
Yeah. I love you. You're great.
I love you so much. Well, we just got married. Thank you guys all for coming to the ceremony, and keep listening to Burning Hell. We're on YouTube, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye, guys.